Welcome to Butterflies and Bravery podcast. This is our first official quote-unquote podcast that you'll probably be hearing for 2023. Yeah. We made it. our little podcast is still inching along, but things are happening and things have been exciting with what's to come, I think, in 2023. There's a snowball that effect that I'm starting to see out there among other ex-cult kids, especially. People are starting to sit up and take notice and listen, and people are out there telling their stories. And a couple weeks ago, we interviewed with this amazing woman, Casey, who does the Cult Vault podcast. She herself is not an ex-cult member or ex-cult kid, but she has done a lot of interviews with ex-cult members, and I think she posted something actually on Twitter the other day about Butterflies and Bravery and about us, and I think she felt she sees it too. She called it a revolution, which of course that's a little triggering for us,
right?
We're like, no, it's not a revolution,
anything but that.
But she's right. It's a movement is what is. It is. And I believe that the more people that start being able to tell their story and feel that strength, there's nothing bad that can come from it. Not that there's no risk. I'm not saying that, but you get to hear other people who understand you, who relate to you. And it really, this is one of the biggest things that I don't think people think about telling your story is it's one of the biggest tools you have against shame. Because anything that you keep hidden, anything that you keep silent about, it is instantly and immediately covered in shame. And that whole shame cycle that you can get into is a big one. And we obviously, you and I, Jemima, we still got our shame cycles, right? But there is definitely a strengthening and a breaking down of that as far as who you are and what you went through and really reclaiming that space for yourself. Okay, I didn't do this to me. I didn't do this to myself, but I am going to now play the hand that I've been dealt, basically. And I'm going to play it to the best of my ability instead of keeping to folding. That episode of Cult Vault with Jemima and I is coming out in March. We'll probably get a date when it's closer and we'll make sure everybody knows. If you're looking for another cult podcasts, the Cult Vault is a very good one. She's a wonderful interviewer. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Very nice. That's a really good point that you made about the shame thing. Something that I think maybe tends to not get thought about. So good job, Whisper.
No, that's a Brené Brown. She studied shame. That was literally her study. And who's the one that's constantly out there saying, tell your story, your power's in your story?
Brené Brown. Yeah, she's pretty cool.
I think our website, on the Butterflies of Bravery website, we have a poem from her. It's about talking about your stories and finding the power in them.
Yes. If you're mystified, go and read it there.
We really do make our own drama. And I love it when something has gone down in one of our groups and then people are talking about it. Somebody either takes down the post or something, whatever. It passes. And then the next thing is everyone's like, wait, what did I miss?
That's what happened to me too. I was like, wait, what did I miss? Nobody cares about the True Housewives of LA. They're all like, what kind of juicy things are the other cult children doing? I think also part of it is that we enjoy having the freedom of being able to gossip and speak our piece and not get in trouble for it. Perhaps someone who grew up with a regular family and all of that feels the need to state their piece. I think we're like times 10.
Maybe.
No, I gotta say my thing.
I know that the need to explain yourself and the need to sometimes overshare, that is a trauma response. I do know that. And of course, of everybody that's never been listened to, definitely the children of God have not been listened to. But at the same time, I think about a couple of the different Facebook groups that I've been in regular groups, even neighborhood Facebooks that just get nasty sometimes.
Yeah.
Way more nasty than we ever are. We might have drama. We might have like back and forths, but we don't have like name calling and just blame and like that kind of stuff, like outright.
No. And then a lot of times when there is that sort of ish behavior like that, people are like, that's not what I meant. I think you're misunderstanding. Yeah. Or we even try to be polite while we're being rude. You're yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Okay, dude, I totally get where you're coming from, but that's a totally fucked up point of view.
Yeah, when you think about all the different personalities, all the different traumas, all the different struggles that we've all gone through, half of us probably still living in survival mode. When you put all that together, we're some pretty fucking well-adjusted people having conversations in these groups. Really?
I agree.
The presidential debates are way worse than what happens in there. So
yeah, that's true.
Pretty well-adjusted people, considering.
Did I tell you the thing that I read in the Myth of Normal by Dr. Gabor Mate, that book that I got? There's these little things on the ends of the strands of your chromosomes. They're called telomeres. They cap and protect the end of your chromosomes, kind of like the end of a shoelace.
Okay.
Telomeres are at the ends. They're like little things out there. Trauma shrinks them, reduces them. Resilience regrows them. So the more resilient you are, the more they regrow.
Gotcha.
So each time you get knocked down and come back up, the telomeres not only regrow, but they come back stronger. And then they're even more resilient each and every time. That's why a lot of times people like us that have had incredible amounts of trauma, and then the psychiatrists are like, by all means, you should be drooling in a corner and you shouldn't be able to speak, from what I've read in my psychological manuals.
Right.
The reality of it is, the more you suffer, the more you rebound, the stronger you rebound every time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that kind of cool?
Yeah, very. I don't know if it's going to happen now or in the far future or in the near future, but I really think that, especially ex-children of God, like kids from the children of God, to be able to study the whole psychology and after effects of the type of trauma that we were exposed to, separated in that way, that we were kept in our nucleus family for so many years. Like, we don't follow all the same paths that other people that have been subjected to some really horrible traumas. And we might have had this conversation before, but I remember one of my neighbors several years ago when I first came to California was a psychologist, one of those two. And I got in the conversation with her one time and I was like, okay, this is something that I have never been able to understand about us ex-cult kids from the children of God, because history and study and psychology and everything, there's that saying, right? Hurt people hurt people. There's this automatic perception, oh, you've been damaged, that means you are damaged or you're going to damage someone. But when you think about the thousands and thousands of kids in the children of God that were abused at the levels that we were, and the numbers of us that have come out so resilient, and we created these amazing families. Every single one I've met, like our third generation kids, fucking incredible. Every single one of them. And almost as an entire unit, we stop the cycle. One thing that we actually do, we do abuse ourselves, unfortunately. But in general, we're not out there hurting other people. And the percentages has got to be a phenomenon in some way, because it's incredible. And I was talking to her about this. And when I was in school for psychology, I tried to write a paper on it to go find out, okay, what makes one horrific trauma victim continue the cycle of trauma, or someone else to go the opposite way where they're trying to fix it, trying to heal it. And there's not studies out there, because you can't even get a control group out of that to be able to do any type of study on it, because the numbers aren't there, but they are in our community. And I think that it's really fascinating. So I was talking to the psychologist and I was saying, why would you say that it's like this. And right away, she said, I don't know. But if I were just to give my opinion about what it could be, she said, it can have to do with who the victim connects to, who the victim gets their association from. And a lot of really severe abuse happens in a small family or children's home where their connection, their association is with the abuser. And there's that trauma bonding that tends to happen. That is the only way that they understand. And those kind of people will go on sometimes to hurt other people. But when your main connection is your fellow victims, creating a separate barrier of, we're not doing this to ourselves or each other, this is being done to us. And for all the different things that we go through with self-blame and self-abuse, like through drugs or alcohol, or even just not taking care of yourself, that is a form of self-harm. But in general, we don't see that kind of harm going out to each other. I mean, we're trying to do the opposite, which is trying to heal and trying to help. So it is interesting, because I think if you look back into some of the very severe cases of, I guess, prisoners of war, some kind of encampment or whatever, where people were kept separate and the abuse was all going towards a group and not a single person. It makes sense what she was saying. To use a very extreme example, and I'm not comparing, but you didn't hear all these people that survived the concentration camps from the Holocaust come out and become Nazis. You know what I mean? That might be one of the things that makes a difference. And I wonder if that would apply to the semi-well-adjusted people we are, that we see in each other. I'm not necessarily one of them, but there's a lot of ex-cult kids that are very successful. You wouldn't even know unless they told you that they came from this really horrific upbringing.
Have you seen the movie Unbroken?
I don't think so.
It's really good, but it was a little bit triggering. It's about a guy in a prisoner of war camp in Japan during World War II. It's a true story.
Oh, boy.
He was in the fighter jet thing, and they crashed into the ocean, and he survived for days on the rafts and then got captured by the Japanese and got put in POW camps. Of course, it was a bit more extreme.
For sure.
But I was being very triggered sitting there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because they're claiming bunk beds and having little pictures on the wall. And then the lining up and the solitary. And a lot of it was really triggering. Of course, it was far more extreme than most of what our experiences were. But a lot of the victors that were in, like, the victor things, they really suffered bad. People are like, oh, you didn't get beaten. But yeah, we did. The guy was carrying this huge bamboo cane around. And I'm sure you remember the canes, getting caned. Yeah,
the cricket bats.
Yeah. Yeah,
the whole drill through them. Yeah,
Yeah. It's funny because there's a cartoon, the King of the Hill cartoon that I like, and she gets a board, and they call it Old Spanky,
and it's
exactly like that. It's a cricket bat with holes drilled through it, and I'm sitting there getting triggered by a cartoon. It's kind of like, oh my God, stupid, but like, this is really bothering me. But yeah, he had a big bamboo cane that he had hit all the guys with. And yeah. But so the guy survived. He died in 2014 or something like that. Like, he lived to be an old man. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Sounds intense.
It is very intense.
I'm not saying there's a better way to be abused. I'm not at all saying that. I think that the type of abuse that we suffered was pretty extreme in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I think, like, we've really found a community in each other, you know, of, okay, I'm going to be okay. Yep, exactly. You know, and as dark as it gets, and I know you've been in there before when some people have come into our Facebook groups and just been like, I'm throwing the towel, you guys, I can't do it anymore. Like, there's definitely some darkness that will come up, and our suicide numbers are really way above average. So I'm not saying it's not a problem, but there's also enough of us that you can look around and say, okay, I can be okay today because there's these people that will listen to me or look out for me or what have you.
Yeah, I very much find strength in other people. That's kind of sad that the people we find strength in are other super fucked up people. Other people who have suffered terribly. A lot of the PTSD makes you feel very alone. That's one of the symptoms, is just feeling alone and like no one can relate to you, and that you can't have any friends and can't hold any relationships, and all of those kind of feelings are very common.
Yep.
But then because you feel so alone, you think nobody else can understand you. When in actuality, there are a lot of other people who have felt very similarly. Yeah. And I think it also keeps you from reaching out, too.
When your CPTSD is flared up or whatever?
Yeah.
Because you feel alone and you don't think that anyone...
You feel like you're a burden, too.
You're a burden, yeah. That's my whole thing.
For me, that's one of the biggest things, is I'm weighing everybody else down. I'm a burden. Those are the things that go through your mind, and for some reason, you believe them. I always used to think that life would get easier, basically, that the further along I got, the more financially stable I was, that the less I would be anxious and worried and all of that. And I'm starting to realize that's not the case. It's not ever going to be the case. Doing this podcast, I feel like I'm the privileged one sitting here and learning from all the people that come and talk to us on our show. And of course, from you and all of your wonderful knowledge that you have. And
yours.
And the knowledge that I have that I don't know is knowledge. And I realize that it's not going to get easier and that I need to be ready for that. But... sorry, really emotional here.
No, it's okay.
But it doesn't get easier, but you get stronger.
Over Christmas, I got just completely like bulldozed over by a horrible bout of depression that I was not expecting. And I absolutely understand what you're saying, because like I had definitely gotten to the point where I was like, that's not going to happen in that level, to right. Where I was questioning my point in life. And it was very serious. And the thing that you're saying, the way that I hear it for myself, is I can't expect that I'm not going to ever have those days. I'm not going to come into those times of my life where I'm trying to make sense of just being alive, trying to make sense if I want to be alive. I don't think I've met yet an ex-cult kid that hasn't struggled with some sort of suicidal ideation to some level. I don't know if that's going to ever fully go away. But as we go along, we're getting more and more tools. I remember reading this story about this older woman who was on a plane ride with this young kid sitting next to her. And this kid was freaking out about all the different things, this and that and the other. And she said to him, let me show you something. And she drew this little square on the piece of paper. And she said, this right here is your experience. This little square here is your experience. And then she drew this huge square outside of it. And she's like, and this is my experience. This is my experience in life. So what you're going through right now and what you're dealing with, you're only pulling from that little square, that little box. Whereas when I go through my shit, of course, she didn't say it like that. She was a sweet little lady. She said, I pull from this huge, big box. And that's the difference. And I think about that with some of the stuff that we go through. What happened to me over Christmas time, there were some things that I did or shouldn't have done that I learned. I was like, okay, I'm not going to go down that road again. I'm not going to allow myself to put down my guard about some things, but it was just one more thing in my pocket of, okay, this was something I survived. I got through. I found out what I did wrong and I found out what I did right. That's how I hear what you're saying about it. It's not that it doesn't get easier. It's we get stronger.
Yes.
We get more experience to pull from.
Yes. And also you have time to build a wall to keep it out a little bit more.
Yeah, true.
And then, like you said, you get a bigger chest of tools. I heard an analogy. If you set out to climb Mount Everest,
yeah,
you can't expect not to face storms. You expect to have the storms because you know they're going to come because you're on freaking Mount Everest. And I think that's how it is. Life in general, the storms are coming, period. There's not a damn thing you can do to stop them.
Yeah.
But you can have a barometer and get an umbrella and see it coming, batting down the hatches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Chest of tools.
Right?
That'd be a funny t-shirt. Like, my chest of tools is bigger than yours.
It could say my chest is bigger than yours, and then tool could be right next to it, really small.
Like a big world chest and then a little world tool.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Stop staring at my tool chest. Oh my. That's funny.
So, funny. So we started out this year with some bumpy spots in our health too.
Yeah. And finished last year the same way. That's why part of the reason we apologize is we have not been podcasting very often. Mine has been
debilitating migraines for one.
Having debilitating migraines and hormonal problems and depression problems. Yeah, sorry.
That's what we're talking about. These are the things we go through.
We're humans. We're humans too.
Yeah. My kids both got COVID. My autistic son, he had it for the first week and a half of the year, like right after the holiday, he got it. And then my daughter got it right after that. And she's just actually tested negative yesterday. So we seem to be through it. Somehow I escaped it so far. Although I didn't just jinx myself.
Where is the Lord?
And then, have you been seeing anything in the news about the rains?
Yeah.
Floods. In like 200 years or whatever. It's been the worst.
Yeah.
200, 300 years. And yeah, I woke up this morning and I came walking out and it was still raining. And I was like, I feel like I woke up in Seattle. It's just been raining nonstop, and it's weird. It's really weird to see it. Some of the, whenever something goes on in the country, there's going to be the panic stories. And some of the panic stories about that is because a lot of fruits and vegetables for the country come from California. And I believe that some of these floods and everything like that are wiping out some of the farming areas of California.
So we're going to have some shortages.
Possibly. Depending on what ends up happening. Climate change is no fucking joke.
It's unseasonably warm here.
Yeah.
47 degrees this morning.
Really? That's like our temperature here.
It's usually girl right now. Yeah. Very strange. All our snow melted. The cheeseburger birds are talking, and the cheeseburger birds only talk when it's springtime.
Do you want to hear a little bit of our stats from last year, from 2022?
Sure.
Our 2022 recap that came from Buzzsprout, which is the platform that we host on. Buzzsprout is one of the largest hosting platforms for podcasts, I believe, if not the largest. Which the reason I say that is because some of our stats that came in, if you think of it in that way, it makes the stats sound better. We did 41 episodes in 2022. We got the weekly warrior badge. We averaged 0.79 episodes per week, which is That's not bad at all. Brisbane is the most popular city for our listeners. Seems apparently a hot spot.
Brisbane.
Why do I ask that?
I just feel like that's the way the Australians say it, but I totally could be wrong.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All the Australians in Brisbane that are listening to go ahead and write us. And then our other top listening cities are in Oregon, Washington, California, and England.
Nice.
That's very cool. We were downloaded in 49 countries.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
And this is why I was saying, like, with Buzzsprout being the top platform for all podcasts, we were in the top 50% of podcasts for the year.
That's awesome.
Which I pulled up when I read that. I was like, okay, but what does that mean numbers wise? So in December, Buzzsprout had 118,000 active podcasts. So we're in the top 50% of that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much to all of our listeners. We're super happy to be back. And I believe that 2023 is going to be bigger and better. We have a little bit more organizational structure of how we're rolling out our episodes, and we're lining up interviews. There's some cooperation. No, what's the word?
Collaboration.
Collaboration. Some collaboration discussions going on with some other podcasts and organizations. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Stay tuned. Definitely. We're back now. You can tune in again. We're also shifting our day, right? We're shifting the day that we're going to
release,
drop the episodes. Yeah. We were shooting before for We've Hit It Wednesday, Thursday, but now we're going to shoot for Saturday
morning, right?
Saturday morning, or at the latest Sunday morning. So that way we were talking about it. We're like, yeah, our subject matter is a little, it's not always easy listening. It's a little bit more intense sometimes. And that might not be the best podcast to listen to when you're at work.
Or on your way to work.
Yeah.
Or on your way home to deal with your husband and children.
So we thought maybe the weekend will be a little bit easier for people to have some time to decide if they want to. Do I really want to hear about ex-cult kids right now or not?
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. We fought. We won.
We can.
We're here. We're queer.
Absolutely. That too.
We're happy. We're sappy. We're grinny. And we're winny.
Is that your new jingle for us for 2023?
We're giggly and we're squiggly. We're giggly and we're jiggly.
I'm definitely jiggly.
Oh, I'm so jiggly.
It's our huge chest. Our chest of tools are jiggly.
My tool chest is jiggly. Oh my.
We're so silly.
I love it when you make me laugh. And then I make you laugh because I'm laughing and then you're laughing and it makes me laugh.
It just keeps going. You make me laugh all the time. I love it.
Laughter's like really good. It's one of those vagus nerve stimulators.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
And did you know, like I was been reading some studies that fake laughter, your brain perceives it the same as real laughter.
Yeah. So there is something to the fake it till you make it.
There actually is. Yeah.
Yes.
Or putting a smile on when you don't feel like it. There is a certain element to that.
I've done that lots of times.
Yeah.
The fake laughing though, that really is, I think it's even more effective because of the vagal stimulation as well as the brain trickery. Like,
oh, it's, and
like
you're releasing double, all kinds of
a double doozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just oh,
The thing about fake laughing is that you don't have to do it for very long before you're laughing for real.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. If you fake laugh, you're pretty soon going to be laughing because you sound so freaking stupid. That's exactly what just happened. Oh, I was like, whoa.
My little brother, one of my many little brothers, this happened in Malaysia. So he probably would have been 5 or 6. And my grandparents had sent a book of jokes to us that my parents would give it to us to read when we were behaving ourselves or whatever. And there was this one joke that my little brother thought was the funniest thing in the world. And so he went through this phase of time where he wanted to tell every single person this joke. And it was just like a question and answer. And the joke was, what do you do when you see a skeleton crossing the road? That was the joke. But the second he said, do you want to hear a joke? He would start laughing and laughing and laughing. And he could hardly get the first half of the joke out. By that time, you're just cracking up at him. And he'll be finally through like these breaths. And he tells the joke, which is jump out of your skin and join them. That's the joke. But by the time he would get the second half of the joke or riddle out, it was so not funny compared to the level of laughter that it made it funnier. You're just like, I have no idea why I'm laughing at this. This is so stupid, but you're hilarious.
That's cute. That's
super the cute. Ultimate dad jokes, one of those things.
Yeah. Shall we wrap it up then? Does our shorty beginning of the month?
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Should we get a new ending? Or just keep our fabulous one that we have?
We can do both. We could start adding an ending from every episode. We'll be like, so keep building that chest of tools and remember.
Okay. I like it. So keep those tools on your chest. Keep your tool chest nearby.
Oh my God.
Don't forget there's tools in your chest. Not those ones. The other chest. And stay brave and remember that every butterfly was once a caterpillar.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And we look forward to a wonderful 2023.
100. Woo!